The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello, hello, welcome, wherever you are in the world, whatever time of day it is, good morning, good evening, good night, good day, good welcome. I'm so glad to have you here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We are broadcasting on KCIW FM 100.7 out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S., home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet. Where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. Thank you so much to our co-host, Gary Young. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Misty. Thank you a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it. You know, Gary happens to be my husband, and in just a very short period of time, he will have celebrated 40 years of being married to me. I don't know if it's a celebration or if we should be offering you consolation.
Awake?
Awake.
No, great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very pleased to be here.
I'm so thrilled to hear that. You know, it's kind of fun because the topic we're going to talk about today, which is diabetes reversal, when I think about the things that I love most in the world, one of the things I love most in the world is health and fitness. I'm not the healthiest person in the world, and I'm not the most fit person in the world. But you, Gary, have such a dedication to your health and fitness, and you are such you're two things to me. I mean, besides being a great husband and father and grandfather and all those other things, you're two things really important to me. One is you're an exceptional role model and a coach. Those are the two things. You're a role model and a coach. And so you seem to be so dedicated to your fitness. It's almost like every day, you know, I want to slack off. I want to take it easy. I don't want to push myself. And I see you. You get your water. You get your tennies on. Doesn't matter if you're tired or uptight or whatever, you haul up those stairs in our house and you get on the elliptical. What is it that drives you like that?
I just feel like it's extending my life to work out, and I want to be healthy. And I know the way I eat, the amount I eat and snack at night, if I don't exercise, I won't be very healthy at all.
So that's kind of cool to know. I remember about a year ago, I think we went to some kind of a family reunion or something, and one of your cousins, he was telling you, he's very fit, and he said, oh yeah, I do 2 hours. I think he said he does 2 hours in the gym every single day, and he does elliptical or some kind of aerobics on top of it. So he does strength training and then aerobics cardio work on top of it. And then he lifted up a big brew. And what did he say? I can't remember.
He goes, I have to work out so I can keep doing this.
Right.
So that was awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. I mean, he was making the point that if he wanted to drink every day, or I don't know if he drinks every day.
Right.
Yeah. He was going to have to work out. Yep. And it takes a level of honesty for you, you know, for anybody, but for you to get on a radio program and say, hey, if I want to eat like I do, I have to work out. And you do. You eat a lot.
Right.
You eat, I mean, a huge quantity of food. Just this year, I don't know if you know this, but I know we pretty much eat all our meals together most of the time. I really started backing off. I used to be in competition with you. I don't know if you realize that, but I used to be in competition with, like, how much food you ate, I would eat the same amount. How much food Gary gets, I get the same amount. If there were, you know, six tamales, I was going to get three if he was going to get three. But I don't do that anymore. I came up with this idea of giving you lion's share, right?
Right.
Right. Because it's been a competition with you from day one. Like, we were always 5'11 together when we very first got married. Are we both still 5'11?
No. I'm shrinking.
Bummer. I'm shrinking too. I'm shrinking too, but I think I'm still taller than you.
You are.
Okay, good. Well, now we got that straight. You can eat more than I can. And I think probably, A, it's because you work out every day, and B, because you're a man, and men tend to have more muscle than women, so they burn more fat, right?
Right.
But I've also, in addition to giving you lion's share, I've also realized overall, I just don't need as much food as I've had in the past. And about 8 years ago, you know, I made a major change in my lifestyle. And you kind of paid attention to that change. You didn't do the same thing I did. But I made a decision a number of years ago to go plant-based. And I've talked about this before on the Ocean Mist Power Hour to our listeners. What does plant-based mean? It just means that I eat foods that grow from the ground or that take in sunshine in the form of photosynthesis, convert it into energy, and I put that into my body. So what are the things I don't eat, the things I say no to? Ham, bacon, sausage, turkey, chicken, tuna, salmon, you know, and all things made with those products. I don't eat butter. I don't eat ice cream. I don't eat sour cream. I don't eat, you know, cheese. Those are the things I don't eat. And Gary, you kind of, you took a cue from me a while ago. What were the first changes, but not right away? Like, it's been almost 8 years for me. How long has it been for you since you went plant-based?
Well, I think it's been almost half a year.
I think it's been more than that.
But I used to be just strictly chicken and turkey guy. Gave up red meat quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, once in a while, I stop by In-N-Out and have a protein burger.
Yeah.
I'll cop to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still do. Every once in a while, you'll have a protein burger. And for those uninitiated in the ways of In-N-Out, first of all, I'm sorry. And second of all, a protein burger just means it does not have a bun around it. So it's a regular hamburger with cheese or a cheeseburger with, you know, burger. No cheese on that?
No
cheese. You don't put cheese
on
yours?
No, no more cheese.
So it's just a burger patty with the lettuce and the onion and the pickle and the tomato all wrapped in a piece of lettuce with some burger sauce on it.
Yum.
Yeah, and you have those once in a while. And I appreciate that. You know what? I think the big difference is you don't do it every day.
No.
And I had a friend say to me recently, because I was making a comment about eating meat three times a day, and she said, "You don't think people eat meat three times a day?" I said, "Oh, absolutely they do. Come on, ham, bacon, or sausage for breakfast, chicken tacos for lunch, and then a burger for dinner, or flop that around. It's a chicken, you know, a burger for lunch and chicken tacos for dinner." Yes. And I'm asking you, the listener, do you eat meat three times a day, or do you eat liquid meat more than once a day? And what's liquid meat? You might say, like, there's no such thing as liquid meat. Yes, there is. It's just meat in a different form. It's called milk, butter, cheese, sour cream, those things, ice cream. Those are liquid forms of cow products typically, although some of those come from goats and other animals as well. So ask yourself the question, do I eat this way? And then before we get down the path too far, there's a reason why we're asking this question. Why are we talking about meat? What do you think we're talking about meat, Gary?
Well, because it's when you basically, it's not very good for you. And it just, I have a great cook. So, I mean, it's easier for me than the average Joe.
Yeah.
Because you cook it and I eat what you put in front of me and it's always good.
Well, I love that you said that. We had tamales, for instance, for dinner last night. And we had them again for lunch today. And I'm embarrassed to say, I'm saying it, it's embarrassing. They were sort of smoked tamales, weren't they?
Yeah, I got a little crazy.
Yeah, I got a little
crazy. Let the water run out.
Oh, I let the water run out. I burned my pan. Can you believe I burned my pan? So they had a little, kind of a little smoky taste to them. But when you were eating those tamales, there was no chicken, no beef, no pork, no sausage, no cheese in those tamales. I'm just really curious, did you feel like you were missing out?
Not one thing. And yeah. They're also gluten-free.
And they're gluten-free. That's right. So they're gluten-free. And a couple nights ago, we had double cheeseburgers at home, right? They were meat-free, liquid meat-free, and gluten-free. So they were fully plant-based. Were you missing out?
What's the name of that product?
Beyond Burger.
We can say that.
Oh, yeah, you can say that. Beyond Burger.
I missed out on nothing. They were so good. I remember we rolled out to the living room in a food coma.
It was kind of ugly, wasn't it?
But it was so good.
It was so good. I mean, I was panting for a little while. So I opened the show by saying I may not be the healthiest person. I'm not the most fit, but I try. So if I made an error and overate one night on a plant-based burger on a gluten-free bun, I'll give myself some grace for that, you know?
As you should, King Friday.
As I should. Well, and here's the reason we're talking about it. You know, type 2 diabetes is an absolute epidemic in our country. It's an absolute epidemic. And not only is diabetes an epidemic, but obesity is a coincident epidemic. So diabetes and obesity together are robbing families of their loved ones, robbing children of their grandparents, robbing children of their parents, and literally robbing some children, many children, of their own futures. It's crazy.
Pretty sad.
It is.
It's very sad.
It is really sad.
Well, you know, the junk food industry is also big in the medicine.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not naming names. I'm just saying There's a really big connection there.
And
there's a reason.
There's a reason. Well, there's a really big connection in so many of these things. And I don't want to get on my, I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist. That's not in my nature, but I can't help myself when I think about big pharma, big food, big medicine, big industry, all these organizations, big agriculture, and even the big associations. I mean, it's crazy to think that the American Heart Association and the American Diabetes Association are sponsored by meat companies. That's crazy. That's insanity.
Yeah.
It really is. But the point of it is, as to your point, Gary, that, there are some people that are funding and making money on both ends of the transaction, right? Poor consumer gets lost in the middle.
Yep.
They get lost.
And make it confusing, too.
They get confused. And it's what the thing we always say, and it's such a sad commentary on society, but confused people do nothing. And I know if you're a listener, a regular listener on the Ocean Mist Power Hour right here on KCIW 100.7 FM out of Brookings, Oregon, you're thinking, I've heard her say that before, confused people do nothing. That's right. And you've heard me say before, too, that you can walk through the grocery store and look at all the ads and particularly the magazines as you're checking out. And one will tell you can lose 30 pounds on the keto diet eating only meat and cheese. And one will tell you that you can lose 30 pounds on the plant-based diet eating only plants. And then one will tell you can lose all the weight you want to by intermittent fasting. It doesn't matter what you eat. Eat whatever you want, including the most decadent cupcakes. It doesn't matter. So what does that leave you feeling?
Confused.
Confused. That's right. You're confused. You're not going to do anything. Well, it's frustrating. And here's some of the risk factors. These are crazy. Men are typically slightly at higher risk of developing diabetes than women. That could be more associated with lifestyle factors like body weight and where the weight is located. So men typically hold their weight in their bellies, right? And you see these poor guys, I see them and their skin looks so tight and their faces are tight and they're red in their bodies. It's almost like you can hear their hearts creaking and just groaning inside their bodies. Women, on the other hand, lesser likelihood of getting diabetes because they carry most of their fat around their hips and thighs, which most of us really dislike that fat around our hips and thighs. Hey, but we can exercise that away. Other risk factors include older age, again, excess weight, particularly around the waist. So women who end up with a very large girth around the waist, they're more at risk for diabetes as well. Family history, physical inactivity, and of course, poor diet plays a part in this discussion too. And these are stats that come from Healthline.com. Type 2 diabetes is increasingly prevalent, but also largely preventable. So according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, type 2 diabetes accounts for nearly 90 to 95% of all diagnosed cases of diabetes in adults. Now, here's what else the CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, here's what else they have to say. Research suggests that 1 out of 3 adults has pre-diabetes. 1 out of 3. 1 out of 3. That is crazy.
And you don't want to promote it by eating stuff that promotes it.
Right. 1 out of 3. But 9 out of 10 of those people don't even know they have it. So 1 out of 3 adults has pre-diabetes. Well, what does that mean? That means that you have an elevated blood sugar already. And there's a blood sugar monitor or marker that they look at in your body. They'll take your blood and they'll look at sort of the last 30 to 90 days. And a marker that they look at is your A1C. And A1C kind of gives a stable look at where has your blood sugar been over the last 90 days. Because most of us know you go in to get a blood test. How do you feel about going for blood tests, Gary?
I can't stand them. I hate needles. That's why I want to be healthy. I don't ever want to go in and get a blood test.
Is that the bottom line? Like you eat all this plant food that I make for you because you don't like needles?
Bottom line. And I know it's good for me.
That's awesome. But you go in and we all know you go in and you have a fasting blood test, right? It's called a fasting blood sugar is what you're looking for. And that gives science or the scientist or the medical profession a chance to look at how your body is dealing with sugar right now in the moment. Here's another stat from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. 29.1 million people in the United States have diabetes, but 8.1 million may be undiagnosed and unaware of their condition. That's a bummer, man. About 1.4 million new cases of diabetes are diagnosed in the United States every year, and more than one in every 10 adults who are 20 years or older has diabetes. Wow.
That's staggering.
It's staggering. And for seniors 65 and older, and that represents a lot of the folks here in our own community, that figure rises to more than one in four. Cases of diagnosed diabetes cost the United States an estimated $245 billion. That was in 2012, so that's quite a long time ago. But this cost is expected to rise with increasing diagnoses. So what's the big deal here? Why are we talking about this? First of all, as we said earlier, it's robbing people of their grandmothers, their mothers, their fathers, their grandparents, their children. And type 2 diabetes, you want to hear something really crazy, Gary? Yeah. Type 2 diabetes used to be called adult onset diabetes.
Huh.
Used to be called that. But they had to change the diagnosis or the name of it because more and more kids started showing up with
right.
it. They can't help it. I mean, if their parents are eating so unhealthy, the kids are going to eat right. unhealthy. Their hearts, their pancreas, their liver, their gallbladder, their spleen, their whole entire system that's processing the food that comes into their body is overwhelmed, unable to deal with the sugar load and the fat load. This is where we're going to go next. We're going to talk about how to reverse type 2 diabetes. So first of all, before I launch into that, you know that I'm a big proponent of Dr. Michael Greger's work. And Dr. Greger is the author of several books, including How Not to Die and the How Not to Die Cookbook. Now, the cookbook is an awesome book. And Gary, full disclosure, I want you to know a lot of the recipes and the foods that I make for you, I get out of books like Dr. Greger's book.
What?
Yes, I know, right? You know that one dish that I make for you with the zoodles?
I love it.
Right? The zoodles are so good. You guys, zoodles are zucchini noodles. You use a little spiralizer and you throw them into a pan. You don't even have to use oil. You can literally saute them in a little bit of water with some mushrooms and some onions. Oh man, they're good. They make like spaghetti. So we call them zoodles and they're phenomenal.
They're great.
So I get a lot of recipes from the How Not to Die cookbook. And I also get a lot of fantastic recipes from Ella Vegan. Ella, E-L-A, Vegan, V-E-G-A-N. And you can find, her name is Michaela, but she goes by Ella, the last three letters in Michaela. Ella Vegan on Instagram. So go look her up at Ella Vegan on Instagram. She publishes 100% free stuff, just like Dr. Greger, 100% free stuff. Now, let me tell you about Dr. Greger. He dedicated his life to providing nutrition information to everyone in the world for free because his grandmother was sent home to die. Now, if you've listened to the Ocean Mist Power Hour before, and you've heard any of the nutrition broadcasts, you know I talk about this. And I'm going to talk about it again. I'm going to tell you what he says directly about his grandmother. He says, How Not to Die was inspired by my remarkable grandmother, who was told at just 65 years old that her life was over. Her doctors sent her home in a wheelchair to die. However, soon after being discharged from the hospital, she was watching television and saw a 60 Minutes segment about Nathan Pritikin, who was an engineer in reversing heart disease through eating a plant-based diet. Now, what's really trippy about this is he was truly an engineer. He wasn't a doctor. Nathan Pritikin wasn't even a physician. So grandmother flies off to Pritikin Center in California to see whether his plan might help her. They wheeled her in, and she walked out on her own 2 feet healthy. She was able to live an additional 31 years beyond that initial death sentence to continue to enjoy life with her six grandchildren, including Michael Greger. And Michael Greger then said, you know, here's this poor little guy. He's 10 years old. He's going to lose his grandmother. That's why this is so important. He's going to lose his Grammy. And instead, he said, I'm going to grow up. Grammy grew up. He got to have her for a long time. I'm going to medical school, and I'm going to teach people how they can eat better. So how to reverse type 2 diabetes. This is written by Michael Greger. Michael Greger is phenomenal, and you can find him on nutritionfacts.org. Everything you will find there, articles, transcripts, videos, research, recipes, everything that's there is 100% free. And thank you, Dr. Greger, for the Creative Commons license that allows me to share your amazing information with our listeners right here on KCIW. Dr. Greger says, diabetes reversal, not just treatment, should be a goal in the management of type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes can be reversed, not only with an extremely low-calorie diet, but it can also be reversed with an extremely healthy diet. Could it be because an extremely healthy diet is also low in calories? Well, he says, that's the topic of my video, Diabetes Reversal. Is it the calories or the food? If we have a few minutes, we'll look into that video transcript as well. Dr. Greger says, study subjects lost as much weight on a green, leafy vegetable-packed, plant-based diet as those who were on a semi-starvation diet based on liquid meal replacements. You know, things like Ensure or, ew, I know, what's that other thing that begins with an S? Slim Fast. So does it matter what we're eating as long as we're eating few enough calories to lose 15 pounds a month? Wow. You know, if you were really overweight, 15 pounds a month, you could probably drop that off pretty quickly. If you're down to that last 15 pounds that you have to lose, it kind of gets a little tough.
And I think most people, especially ladies, in my opinion too, are just, they're really not looking at the health part of it. They're mm-hmm. looking at the weight loss to make them look better and stuff. And, you know, so it kicks in the health part as much.
It does. It kicks in the health part, but it kicks in the mental health part, right? Like, I know for me, there was a time when I was about 40, 45 pounds overweight. You remember those yep. days. And I really appreciate your kindness and compassion through that time.
Oh, I too was overweight because what I ate.
Right, right.
Burgers.
Oh my gosh. Burgers, fries, steaks. Fried chicken, steaks.
Yeah, bacon and eggs every morning.
Oh God. Yeah, full disclosure, I talk about this a lot. We own a restaurant company, you know, and we used to eat ham, bacon, sausage, turkey, chicken, tuna, salmon, shrimp. I mean, all the time.
Yep.
All cheese. That stuff. Cheese, cheese, cheese.
Before we get too carried away, we had a guest over to eat once at our house, and we had made the transition. Yeah. And the meal was very good, but the man commented that it was very un-American of us not to have meat on the table.
He did. Yep. Those were the exact words he used.
It drew us back a little bit.
Oh, but it totally threw me back.
You know, when my mom and when I was a kid, the meals were made at home. It was a lot less fast food to be offered.
Yes.
You know, and the family's big, but you... It was a different time.
Well, and that was the beginning, really, of the time when the government was starting to say, you got to have your three squares and you got to have your plate and you got to have your meat. Everything has to, the food pyramid, all that. But everything really came around meat. It was meat and dairy and cheese and a little bit of bread. And then, might throw some vegetables in there,
I think they've changed it a little bit.
They've changed it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But back then it was all protein, protein, protein. And of course now everybody's talking about the protein myth, you know? All right, so I go off on these tangents. It's what happens. I know, it's okay. Well, we're back to Dr. Greger and what he says, even if diabetes reversal is just about calorie restriction instead of subsisting off largely sugar, powdered milk, corn syrup, and oil, which are common ingredients in some liquid diet drinks, on the plant-based diet, at least one can eat real food. In fact, as many low-cal veggies as desired. What? Like if you're in a weight loss mode or you want to get rid of diabetes in your life and you're thinking, a low-cal diet, an extremely low-cal diet, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can. Do you want to give yourself finger pricks and shots the rest of your life and give yourself, you know, the potential of losing your sight or getting one of your legs cut off or losing a limb or some kind of
amputation. Drastic.
It's drastic. And not only all of those factors, but all of the concomitant things that happen with diabetes, the heart problems, the breathing problems, the you can't move problems, just the stiffness that comes with it. There's a whole series, I can't even think of the word. It's just like it just piles on. Yeah, it's a plethora. Yeah, thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. But participants in the study who did not lose weight or even gained weight eating enormous quantities of whole healthy plant foods appeared to improve their diabetes. Thus, the beneficial effects of this diet, this kind of diet, appear to extend beyond weight loss. The successful treatment of type 2 diabetes with a plant-based diet goes back to the 1930s. Now, this bugs me because this goes back 90 years. 90 years ago, they knew this. And they've tried to tell people. But people, you know, what did we say earlier? Confused people.
Do nothing.
Right. Yeah. Confused people do nothing. And it's easy to keep people in confusion. And there is some benefit to the system to keep people confused because money moves freely when people are confused, I think. What do you think?
I think you're right. Well, it's, you know, I don't want to pinpoint or point out doctors not telling you like, hey, you could turn that around by just going home and eating some broccoli and really watching what you eat. Stay out of certain places.
You mean fast food places like Death Row that we have right here in Brookings?
Didn't want to go there.
I went there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there all the time. And I'm going to say this, when I say go there, I'm going there, not like going there. I don't go there. But I'm, you know, it's really fascinating. The McDonald's recently did a redo, right? Did you notice that they got rid of, remember when we were kids, you go to McDonald's, right? And they have those little round tables and they had those little round seats at the table. And that thing had to be like, what, maybe 12 inches across?
Normal, so for a normal person.
Right. They had to do away with those. And those were those little, they were kind of like, it was a round table with these metal spikes that came up with a single round seat on it. Just enough for your little butt to plop down and you to sit there and eat your Happy Meal or whatever you were having. But then they started supersizing their meals, didn't they? And if you haven't seen the documentary Super Size Me, trust me, you want to see it. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on Netflix. You can probably find it on YouTube. You know, if it's important for you to find it for free, just go look it up on YouTube. It's called Super Size Me. And I think Morgan Spurlock is the guy who put that together.
It's an eye-opener.
Oh, it's an eye-opener, big time. Well, once they started doing supersizing, they kind of had to change their restaurants a little bit. And this particular restaurant that got redone put cement bunkers out at picnic tables for their guests. They had to. The guests have supersized, you know? And even in Super Size Me, he talks about McDonald's themselves as a corporation has a category of users. They call them extremely heavy users. And that is, you know, what happens. And I'm not making a judgment on people that are overweight. I've been there. I've been overweight. It hurts. It hurts your knees. It hurts your body. It hurts your mind. I think it hurts your self-esteem. I think people judge us when we're overweight. I think it hurts our society. I know it hurts our society. Earlier, we talked about the financial cost of diabetes. It hurts your body and it hurts your family when your family suffers because you're too overweight to be able to do anything with your family. Boy, I know, you know, it seems like we're just kind of hammering on overweight, but overweight and diabetes go together. What can you do? You can reduce meat, reduce liquid meat, and eat more veggies. So, for example, I'm going to read this again. The successful treatment of type 2 diabetes with a plant-based diet goes back to the 1930s, providing incontestable evidence that a diet centered around vegetables, fruits, grains, and beans was more effective in controlling diabetes than any other dietary treatment. In a randomized controlled trial, insulin needs were cut in half, and a quarter of the subjects ended up off insulin altogether. But again, this was a low-calorie diet. Walter Kempner at Duke University School of Medicine reported similar results 20 years later with his rice and fruit diet studies, showing for the first time documented reversal of diabetic retinopathy in a quarter of his patients, something never even thought possible. Diabetic retinopathy. That's like when you're starting to go blind. That's when your retinas are having major problems and you can barely see anymore. One patient, for example, was a 60-year-old diabetic woman already blind in one eye who could only see contours of large objects with the other eye. 5 years later, while on the diet, instead of her vision getting worse, it got better. She could make out faces and read signs and large newspaper print. Then she got off insulin, had normal blood sugars, and had a 100-point drop in her cholesterol. Another patient went from being only able to read big headlines to being able to read newsprint 4 months later. What was behind these remarkable reversals? Was it because the diet was extremely low fat, or was it because there was no animal protein or animal fat, or was it because the diet was so restrictive and monotonous that the patients just lost weight and improved their diabetes that way. Well, to tease this out, we needed a study where researchers switched people to a healthy diet, but forced them to eat so much that they didn't lose any weight. Imagine that. Imagine like, oh, I'm in a study. I'm in a medical study. Sorry, they're making me eat so much I cannot possibly lose weight.
Of good food. Right. So, yeah.
Like the kind of stuff we eat every day, right?
Right.
Then we could see if a plant-based diet has unique benefits independent of all the weight loss. This is really fascinating. So for that, we had to wait another 20 years until a study in the 1970s. And in it, diets were designed to be weight-maintaining. Participants were weighed every day, and if they started losing weight, the researchers made them eat more food. In fact, so much food that some of the participants had trouble eating at all, but they eventually adapted. Thus, there were no significant alterations in body weight, despite restrictions of meat, dairy, eggs, and processed junk. And there were enough whole plant foods, whole grains, beans, vegetables, and fruits to provide 65 grams of fiber a day, four times what the standard American diet provides. Huh. You know, I think about the standard American diet. We know that the acronym for that is SAD, sad. It is really sad.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Well, like we've found out too, if you can be vegan or vegetarian and still not eat very good because
right.
Lay's potato chips
are vegan.
That's right.
Fritos.
And they're gluten-free.
All right.
You can still, you got to really watch your P's and Q's.
You really do, you know, and I mean, I love Fritos, man. And I
Who
love
doesn't?
Lay's potato chips. Who doesn't? I mean,
yeah.
They're salty, greasy wonders of, you know, tongue pleasure.
Right.
But it's not healthy. And so when I think about, you know, for myself, all the things I already say no to in life, how hard would it be to say no to Fritos? Most of the time I do say no to Fritos. You know, two or three times a year I might buy a bag of Fritos. That's a lot different than it used to be for me when I would go on a road trip and two or three times a day I was eating Fritos on every road trip. That's how I gained 45 pounds.
Yep.
God, you remember we take those road trips and yep, here we would stop to the gas station. Oh, it's just a bag of Doritos and a soda.
Might as well get a Butterfingers with
it. I did. Jeez, come on now. Go figure.
I think a lot of times too, for the normal Joe,
yeah,
it's just like, oh, barbecue chicken. And just like, how do I get, you know, you're not going to really, well, if you had it once a month, a little, you mm-hmm. know, but not, you know, once every Saturday, I barbecue up that chicken. I know, I was there. I love to do it. But
yep.
There are other good tasty things to make.
There really are. And, you know, having been plant-based now for so many years, I've heard so many arguments and people who will, like, want to get in my face a little bit. Hey, and if you're just joining us here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, welcome. We're broadcasting on 100.7 FM KCIW right out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon. And, you know, the arguments I've heard from people are things like, well, you know, our ancestors ate meat. So we should eat meat. Yeah, your ancestors, my ancestors, they're all of our ancestors did eat meat. That's true. It wasn't processed and packaged and ready. They just go and pick up the dismembered plasticized parts out of the grocery store. They would find a rabbit once a week, not a rabbit for breakfast, a cow for dinner, and a chicken for lunch. You know, they weren't eating meat three meals a day, you know, 7 days a
processed.
Week.
Processed.
Yeah, 52 weeks a year. Exactly. Processed. Exactly. So, you know, it might have been different. And then some people say, well, you know, I'm going to eat like a lion. And a lion still eat meat. You know, that's what I do. I eat like a lion. Okay. Well, when you go out there and kill the gazelle like a lion, you go ahead and eat that meat. You know, like.
Yeah, that's a lot of exercise, right?
Yeah, it is, right? So back to Dr. Greger. He says the control diet they used was the conventional diabetic diet, which actually had nearly twice the fiber content of the standard American diet. So it was probably healthier than what they had been used to eating. So how did the even healthier diet group do? With zero weight loss, did the dietary intervention still help? The study compared the number of units of insulin with which subjects had to inject themselves daily before and after going on the plant-based diet. Now, overall, despite no change in weight, insulin requirements were cut about 60%. and half of the diabetics were able to get off insulin altogether. Was this after 5 years or after 7 months, as the case had been in the other studies discussed above? No. It was after 16 days.
Nice.
16 days.
It's amazing what you can do.
It is amazing what you can do. You know, we had a friend recently who said, oh gosh, I started eating a whole foods plant-based diet just a few days ago. And what's really weird is we had no idea that friend did that. But we saw this friend in the grocery store recently, and both of us commented, wow, he looks great.
Yeah, he had a spunk to his step.
He
his
did.
Eyes seemed clear. He looked happy.
He looked happy and peppy and energetic.
We didn't even know.
We didn't even know. And then literally the very next day he said, yeah, I've moved into, and I was really surprised because he had moved into eating plant-based just a few days before that, but it showed already in his physical appearance, in his countenance. But I love this idea, too, that, you know, after 16 days, the diabetes, the insulin requirements were cut about 60%. Can you believe that? And half the diabetics were able to get off insulin altogether in 16 days, even without weight loss. And that was just by eating a whole foods, plant-based diet. If you're struggling with this, if this one thing tells you nothing else but you have some hope to be done with type 2 diabetes in your life. Do you know what they call type 2 diabetes? A lifestyle disease. I know for me, that hurts my feelings. Once I went to the doctor a long time ago when I was overweight, and the doc said, you have high blood pressure. And I thought, oh, I have high blood pressure. Wow, you know, that runs in my family. And the fact of the matter is, it's a lifestyle disease, just like type 2 diabetes. It's a lifestyle disease. If you can change your lifestyle, did you hear what I just read from Dr. Greger a minute ago? I'm reading it again. Overall, despite no change in weight, insulin requirements were cut about 60%, and half the diabetics were able to get off insulin altogether. Was this after 5 years or after 7 months, as had been the case in the other studies discussed above? No, it was after 16 days. There is hope. To be clear now, we're talking about diabetics who had had diabetes as long as 20 years, injecting 20 units of insulin a day, getting off insulin altogether in as few as 13 days, thanks to less than 2 weeks on a plant-based diet. Patient number 15, for example, they don't give you people's names in these things, had injected 32 units of insulin while on the control diet, and then 18 days later, none, zero, zip, zilcho, none. Lower blood sugars on 32 units less insulin. That's the power of plants.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's great.
It is great. You know, I have never had diabetes. I've never had high blood sugars. I've not had a diagnosis like that. I've never had pre-diabetes. And you haven't had that either, Gary. But you used to eat real crummy.
Right. I had gout. The doctors always usually want to fix it with a pill.
Yep.
But I didn't want to go that way. So I went, we read what was the highest thing to gout was animal products, beer. Gosh, hated to give up my beer, but
yeah,
I did it.
You did. You know, and I know we've talked privately that, and I'm sorry to out you on this, but I think you'll be okay with it.
What?
I'm going to out him. I'm outing him right now. You know, the animal products, you continued with those for 6 or 7 years after I left them. You were eating quite a lot of them, drinking a lot of beer. You got the gout, and then your feet started getting all crackly and dry, really dry. And a lot of those symptoms, gout is related to, you know, blood disorders and that kind of thing. But the feet thing particularly, I think, was a pre-diabetic condition. I don't know.
Yep.
Weird, huh?
Yep.
It's kind of crazy.
Glad I turned it around.
Me too, because here's what's really trippy. Your feet are in great shape.
Yep, and I want to live. I got grandkids, I got a wife, I live in Brookings.
Oh, I know.
It's awesome.
Couldn't get any better than that.
Nope.
And here's the really cool thing. Last night I was rubbing on your feet and there's no cracks on them anymore. They're not dry, they're not beat up. Your feet look great.
Thank you.
Yeah, now if I could just get you in for a blood test.
No.
I'd love to know your numbers. You know I love numbers.
My numbers are fine.
All right. So that's the power of plants. As a bonus, the people who were participating in this plant-based diet, their cholesterol dropped like a rock to under 150 on average in 16 days. making them nearly heart attack proof as well. Now, to set the record straight, in case you don't already know this, heart disease is the number one killer of Americans. Hands down, number one, it's the number one killer. And what are the ways that we wreck our hearts? Well, with diabetes, with smoking, with super high fat diets, and let's just be really straight about this, an animal protein diet is a high fat diet. There's no nutrition in animal protein. There's calories there, and you might challenge me on and say, well, there's protein, and I'm going to challenge you right back and say it's not compatible protein for your body. It's compatible to your mindset that says, well, you got to have your protein and you get it from animals. You don't have to. You can get protein from broccoli, corn, cauliflower, green beans, kale, lettuce, spinach. I mean, I could just go on and on and on.
Nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts are so amazing. They're high fat, though. You got to kind of be careful on those. So these people were made heart attack proof. Their cholesterol came down. They dropped their diabetes medication. I hope you're paying attention. If you're listening and you have type 2 diabetes, you could swap off your medicine in as little as 13 days. Now, look, I know you don't have a chef preparing all your meals for you. You're not in a study where, you know, you're in a medical environment, and I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm going to ask you this, though. If anybody ever asked you, and Gary, I'll ask you, you can be my guinea pig for this. When you used to eat your standard American diet, if somebody were to say to you, do you think you could improve your diet? Would the answer be yes or no?
I'm kind of torn because I always knew in the back of my heart, eating steak and bacon and eggs every day wasn't good for me.
Okay. All right. So the answer is probably yes. You knew you could improve your diet.
Yes.
And then the second question would be, you know, if you don't know, you probably could figure this out. But if you could improve your diet, what do you think you could do to improve your diet? What would be something you could do to improve your diet?
Probably not eat meat at every meal.
Right.
Or cheese or any dairy products.
Right.
You call it liquid meat?
I call it liquid meat.
To me, that sounds a little confusing. It's cheese and dairy and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, wow.
Yeah.
Your statistics are overwhelming.
Oh, the statistics are overwhelming. Most people, when you ask them, you know, do you think you can improve your diet? And they'll say yes. And then you say, well, what do you think you could do? And most people say, I could eat more fruits and veggies. So look, I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just suggesting to you to do what you already feel and urging in your body to do. Your body's begging you for micronutrients. What does that mean? Micro, small, nutrients, nutrition for your body. Your body's begging for those nutrients. And the only place you can get sun energy, the energy from the sun is converted through plants in a process called photosynthesis into energy for the plant, and then you consume the plant and you consume that photosynthesis, and now you're literally burning the energy of the sun in your body.
Wow. That's right? So cool.
It is so cool. Yeah. How cool is that? I love it. So again, I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm giving you a moment to pause and look at your own thinking and your own self and your own being and follow your intuition inside that says, huh, I wonder if I could have a better diet if I just ate more fruits and vegetables. And I'll try to whisper this loudly. The answer is yes. You'll feel better if you eat more fruits and vegetables. That was a good whisper, right? Now look, just as moderate changes in diet usually result in only modest reductions in cholesterol, asking people with diabetes to make moderate changes often achieves equally moderate results, which is one reason or one possible reason why most people end up on oral drugs, injections, or both. Everything in moderation may be a truer statement than people realize. Moderate changes in diet can leave one with only moderate blindness, moderate kidney failure, moderate amputations. Moderation in all things is not necessarily a good thing. So it's like go big or go home, you know? Get her done.
Yeah. Well, I remember, and I had the gout too. I have a couple friends that got it.
Yep.
But they went the pill route.
Yeah.
And they still drink beer.
Oh,
and they still eat animal products.
Yes.
And they're huge.
They're huge.
And it's not just their appearance, it's their health. Do you see it in their,
yeah,
and,
they're,
you
know, tight in their skin.
Yeah. And they're limping and it just, but they go the medication route so
right,
they can carry on that lifestyle.
Right. You know, what's crazy about that, that medication route is, it's a mask. It doesn't fix the problem. It only essentially deadens the nerve endings so you don't feel the glass crystals in your feet or your knees or your whatever. Yeah, it just blocks the nerve receptors. So Dr. Greger says, I want to go back to this idea for a second because I think this is crazy what he just said. Asking people with diabetes to make moderate changes often achieves only moderate results, which is one reason why most end up on oral drugs, injections, or both. And then ultimately, he said, moderation in all things is not necessarily a good thing, right? Moderate blindness, moderate kidney failure, moderate amputations. You know, if you're dealing with diabetes, just do it. How is it going to hurt you to spend 2 whole weeks on a plant-based diet? You could do this. You could do this. You could just stop eating the way you've been eating for so long that's been supporting and fueling diabetes in your body and just eat fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts and seeds. Just eat things that have grown from the earth for 2 weeks and see how you feel. And let your doctor know, of course, hey, doc, I'm going to eat plant-based for 2 weeks and then I'm going to see how I feel. And by the way, let's do some drugs. You're going to get your blood work done anyway. Get some blood work done. Eat plants for 2 weeks and see how it goes. I'd be curious how that goes for you. Now, Dr. Greger said, the more we as physicians ask from our patients, the more we and they get. So talk to your doctor, right? I mean, I hate this. You open up a Reader's Digest and 50 ads for drugs fall out. Talk to your doctor about whatever drug it is. Right. Or you watch TV. I don't watch TV, but sometimes I see it in the airport. Talk to your doctor. Ask your doctor about blah, blah, blah drugs, right? They market direct to the consumer, asking the consumer to go to the doctor. I'm asking you as your fellow citizen to talk to your doctor about eating plants, right? I'm not a doctor, but you can talk to your doctor about eating plants and then eat plants and see how it makes you feel.
Well, I think one thing too, Misty, is you go organic so you're not getting that chemical spray on stuff too, because that's also, I know it's another subject too.
Yes.
But it's also, if you're going to go do it, try to do it as organic as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. You know, if you put out 2 bowls of oatmeal to people and you say, would you like a bowl of free oatmeal with fresh fruit on it? Yeah, I'd love one. Thank you. Great. Okay. There's 2 here. Would you like the one with pesticides or without pesticides on it?
I'll take the one without.
Right. Most people are going to say, I'll take the one without pesticides. So look, that's in your control too. Dr. Greger says the old adage, shoot for the moon, seems to apply. He says it may be more effective than limiting patients to small steps that may sound more manageable, but are not sufficient to actually prevent disease progression. Now, Dr. Greger says, although he has dozens of videos about diabetes, he thinks his video, Diabetes Reversal, is it the calories or the food, may be the single most powerful one he's made. So he's asked me and you to please share this life-changing, life-saving video with anyone you know who has type 2 diabetes or is at risk for the dreaded disease. He says, as far as I'm concerned, it should be required viewing for every healthcare practitioner. I wish I had seen it when I was a medical student. That's pretty amazing to hear a doc say that.
Yep.
I think it's amazing too that we have at our own disposal ways to make a difference. You know, the original edict, if you will, in medicine was, let thy medicine be thy food and thy food be thy medicine. I think it was Hippocrates who said that. And we got so far away from that, you know. We started thinking about, let thy medicine be thy food. And so now we talk about all kinds of, you know, my burger is my medicine. Well, not really, you know.
I think too is, even if you don't have diabetes and anything, just doing the plant-based thing, like, you know, even if you don't feel funky or you're not overweight or anything, just give it a shot. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, you know,
Yeah. Well, I feel so good. I just feel good. On days when I eat Fritos, I don't feel so good.
No.
But overall, I feel awesome. I feel healthy and alive and vibrant and energetic and stretchy, you know?
Stretchy.
Dr. Greger's video or a blog post that he has here, Reversing Diabetes with Food. Let's take a quick look at this one. He says, we've known for nearly a century and a half since the 1870 siege of Paris during the Franco-Prussian War that type 2 diabetes could be reversed by an extreme reduction in food intake. This has since been demonstrated experimentally. By starving people enough, you can reverse diabetes. Diabetes specialists have long known that the tiny proportion of iron-willed diabetics who can substantially decrease their weight and maintain this can return to a normal metabolism. A label is required to allow doctors to recognize and appropriately manage this subgroup who are willing to do anything to get rid of their diabetes. These are the health motivated. There's actually a word out there. It's called orthorexia. Orthorexia. That's for people who have an unhealthy obsession with being healthy. Hello? Right?
I think we used to call it health nuts.
Yeah, right. Health nuts.
Yeah.
Are orthorexic. At the time of diagnosis, the health-motivated individuals will benefit from being advised that they are likely to be able to reverse their diabetes completely by losing up to a fifth of their body weight, and then only if they're shown to be not sufficiently strongly motivated should the routine guidelines for managing type 2 diabetes be rolled out, which includes lots of drugs. Unfortunately, the control of blood sugar with medication has proved to be unsustainable and may actually exacerbate obesity. Uh-oh. Making many of us put on more weight and thus creating a vicious cycle. There's got to be a better way. So instead of starving oneself by eating less food, what if we instead just ate better food? Eating a diet that emphasizes all-you-can-eat greens, lots of vegetables, beans, some whole grains, nuts and seeds, at least 90% plant-based. So at least one big salad every day, like a pound of raw greens, veggie bean soup, a handful of nuts and seeds and fruit at every meal, a pound of cooked beans, some whole grains, but no refined grains, no junk food or oil, and a restriction on animal products. Here's interesting stuff. 13 diabetic men and women sticking to this diet for an average of 7 months. Well, how did they do? Hemoglobin A1C is considered the best measure of blood sugar control. Below 6 is normal, non-diabetic. But the official American Diabetes Association target is to get diabetics at least down to 7. And anything above 7 is uncontrolled diabetes. Here's where they all started out after having diabetes for an average of more than 7 years. Then they started plowing in the plants. Months 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And after about 7 months, their average A1C dropped from a diabetic 8.2 down to a non-diabetic 5.8.
Wow.
The majority, right? The majority dropped down to normal. And this is after dropping most of their medications. Now, this was just a pilot study, just a handful of people, no control group, and it included only people who could actually stick to the diet. A retrospective case series considered to be one of the weakest forms of published evidence, but the magnitude of the effect they found indicates, again, that a high nutrient density diet can be very effective for some people. Wow.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
You know, if you just, you know, you get rid of that bacon and eggs in the morning and go oatmeal, just try one, just one little thing at a time. Pretty soon, boom, now my lunch. Oh, it's a salad and an apple.
Right, and a few beans sprinkled on top.
And then you got to have your chicken and have it at night, you know, whatever dish. But you don't have to go drastic. I didn't go drastic.
Well, you took it a little bit at a time.
A little bit at a time. And yeah, it worked.
It did work. And I mean, here's the difference too. You're not having to give yourself, you know, finger pricks and, and you know, check. You're not diabetic.
No.
You know, and I mean, I've known some friends, my own grandmother died of diabetes. You know, I can't even believe I haven't even brought this up, but my own grandmother, from the time I was really little, I remember, I don't remember her finger pricking. I just remember we would all sort of be kind of weirded out. Like there was my Nana and she had her little bottle of medicine and she stuck the needle up into it and drew it down and she was injecting herself. And, you know, at the first few times I saw it, I was probably six or seven. And then it just became routine, like, oh, Nana's giving herself a shot. Maybe that's why I don't have such an aversion to shots as you do.
Ew.
I know, ew, I know. But still, she died. You know, diabetes took her out early too.
Yep.
Heart disease and all kinds of other stuff, you know. But it's the whole point that I want you to hear here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on 100.7 FM, KCIW out of Brookings, Oregon. What I really want you to hear is that Your health and fitness is in your hands. And you only get one chance at this thing called life. And it's so fun. It's so precious. You know, I had a friend and I spoke to him recently and I had noticed that his dad was limping. I said, how's your dad doing? Oh, I've noticed he's limping. Oh, yeah, his diabetes is getting to him. And oh, but he still eats, you know, he's been a bachelor for a super long time and he still eats a lot of junk. And the guy is uncomfortable. You can just see it in him. He's uncomfortable and it hurts. It hurts. It just hurts. And I'm just encouraging you, if you hurt, if you're dealing with diabetes, you don't have to. Maybe you have type 1 diabetes. Maybe you were born with it. Maybe there's no way out for you. In which case, I say I'm awfully sorry that you have that hand dealt to you. But if you're dealing with type 2 diabetes, that's a card you pulled off the deck. And you can discard that. You can discard and pull new cards and get yourself a royal flush. Come on now. I want a royal flush.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't even gamble anymore and it sounds good to get a royal flush. But what I want you to know is that it's in your own hands. And as I've said before, it's from fork and fingers to face. It's the 3F process, right? It's from fork and fingers to face. You get to decide. And you can't say, well, you know, I don't cook my own food. Someone else cooks for me. You're the one that puts it in your mouth. So don't use that excuse. And don't say you don't have time, because you have time to manage diabetes if you're managing it. And don't say, you know, it doesn't matter to you, because it does. If you have diabetes and you're dealing with it, it hurts. You don't have to hurt. You can improve rapidly, and you can do it without surgery. Well, that was an awful lot. That was a big day. I really appreciate you coming here and being with us on the Ocean Mist Power Hour here on KCIW 100.7. This is Misty Young from the Ocean Mist Power Hour, right here in Brookings, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet. Where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. Thank you to our great listeners. We really appreciate you being here. Hope you learned something today, and we'll see you again soon.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.